If you will please and open with me to the book of John, chapter number 7 in your Bible, John's Gospel, chapter number 7 in the Word of God this morning. John's Gospel, chapter number 7, and we're glad that you've come. I sure enjoyed the instruments, and I sure would encourage you to keep playing those instruments. They're really great. I learned of a new instrument today, and I was really blessed to hear that. Sounds just like my wife's parents used to play the mandolins, and sounds just like them today. So, but it was good to hear the special music of the young people and the fairly other younger people. All right. So, what a blessing! All right, it's a good crowd this morning. And we appreciate your being here. All right, let's open our Bible, John chapter 7, please. And we're going to look at verse 37 through verse 39. So if you have your Bible, it'd be great to have you turn there. We'll be calling your attention to what we see here in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Father, thank you so much for every opportunity to open the Bible, and how we pray that the Holy Spirit will work in every heart, in every life. Father, we thank you that we can assemble in a free country and preach, "Thus saith the Lord." We pray that the Holy Spirit will cause people to give attention to your word. And Lord, we live in a noisy world. We live in a world that's calling for attention. And Father, sadly to say, many people are not giving any attention to the Word of God, to what the Bible says, what the Creator says. I pray that they would do so today. Lord, get a hold of our hearts. Get a hold of our ears. Help us to listen. Help us to not only listen, but to do what your word says, and obey it and apply it. That's where the blessing is, Father. So, Lord, we commit it to you and trust you to bless. Father, revive thy work in the midst of the years. I pray, dear Lord, and revive thy people and save the lost that may be here today. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You remember a time when you were really thirsty? I mean, you were just thirsty, and you thought you were going to die if you didn't get anything to drink, or you're just that thirsty. I don't know if you ever have been that thirsty, but I remember one time I was that thirsty. I was down at Bible College, and come all the way from Washington State, where I was raised, and all the way down to South Carolina, and there's a lot of difference in the weather between those two parts of the country. I mean, up there in Washington State, it's not humid, it's dry, and you know, you just don't have the humid hot. And I've never gotten used to the humid hot. I like the dry heat, that's okay. Actually, I like winter. I'm not even a dry heat person. I like winter. You know, I'm strange. I like snow. I would never retire and go to Florida. You know, I'm sorry. You can go down there if you want to. That's okay. But I would never do that. I like snow. I really do. And you know, that's why I was raised up there in the northwest part of our nation. But I went down to South Carolina, and it was dry. It was hot and humid. And I got so thirsty. I was out playing soccer. And, you know, I was so thirsty playing soccer. I wasn't used to that heat. And I was so thirsty that I came to dinner that night, and I didn't want any food. All I wanted was something to eat, or something to drink. Not any food. I didn't want any food. I was just thirsty. And that night, sitting around the table, I just drank glass after glass of iced tea, you know. And I fell in love with iced tea that night. You know, I just fell in love with it. But I was so thirsty, so thirsty. Well, here Jesus is talking about thirsting in this passage of Scripture. He's talking about a thirst. And he is preaching here, and he's speaking with a loud voice. He's lifting up his voice. He's crying out. You know, he wants people to hear. You see, this is a great crowd of people. It's the last day of a great feast day. And there's all kinds of people all over the place. You know, they probably had people from all kinds of nations. I feel like we have lots of people here. We got the United Nations here, you know, this morning, right before us. And last week I was with Brother Tala, and then I met people there from Spain and El Salvador. It's the United Nations there. So here Jesus is preaching before this great crowd of people gathered from all. And he's burdened for them because he sees them and he knows something about them. They need to realize, and that is they're thirsting. They're thirsty, and he's crying out. He wants these people to hear what he has to say about the thirst that they have. The thirst that they have. And you know, Jesus is in heaven, but Jesus is in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is here, and I'm a preacher of the Word of God, and I'm standing in the stead of Jesus this morning, and I want you to see the message that He is preaching to these people, and He wants to take care of the thirst that they have. You see, what His message is all about is this, that He alone can quench the thirst of their human heart. He alone can quench the thirst that they have inside of them. And so He's wanting these people to hear and to realize that, and to realize that He's got the water that will quench their thirst inside of their heart. Now He's continually saying this message. He's continually preaching it. The Bible says He's crying out. That means it's presently something He's just reiterating it over and over again, that He alone can quench their thirst. You know, and how people need to hear that today. We live in a thirsting day. We live in a day when people are still thirsting. They're thirsting to quench that thirst. Some think it's through money. Some think it's through clothes. Some think it's through things. And they're trying to quench that thirst inside their heart. And so that's what we need to hear. We need to hear this message today. People who are saved need to hear this message today. People who are saved, who know the Lord as their Savior, are thirsting after the world. They're thirsting after things. They've gotten away from thirsting after Jesus. And they're no longer thirsting after Him. They don't want to come Sunday night to hear the Bible preached. They're not thirsting after getting more of Jesus in their life. They don't want to obey Him and get baptized. And they don't want to follow Him and live for Him and serve Him and honor them in their life. They've got to places where Jesus isn't in control of their life. And they're thirsting after other things of the world rather than thirsting after the things of God. You know, the Bible says Jesus alone can quench the thirst that you have, every one of us have. He alone can do it. Christians need to get back to thirsting after Jesus. We need a revival of people thirsting after the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people are spiritually dehydrated. Spiritually dehydrated Christians are. And as a result of that, they're no longer thirsting after prayer. They're no longer thirsting after reading their Bibles. They're no longer thirsting after living a holy life. They're no longer thirsting after laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth corrupt. All they want to do is get the things of this world, and they want to lay up things in this world. They're not thirsting after the things of eternity. And so many of Christians are like that. Oh, is that like you, Christian? Is that like you? You stop thirsting after the things of the Lord. And you know, the Bible says people of God have forsaken the fountain of living water, and they've broken, gone back to the broken systems of the world, the waters of the world that can hold no water that will quench their thirst. Oh, we need to hear what Jesus says here in this message, anew and afresh as Christians. And you know what? You need to hear it if you're not saved. You need to hear what you're hungry heart is thirsting for. What your thirsting heart is thirsting for. You need to hear it this morning. There are three things that I want you to take heed, that we need to take heed about this message that Jesus is preaching here about the thirst of the human heart. The thirst that every human heart has. Three things that I want you to see that we need to take heed. First of all, we need to take heed to what Jesus is saying in this message about thirsting because of the invitation, because of its invitation. Notice that Jesus says, if any man. You see, this is invitation is wide open.
Yeah.
Jesus is preaching this message to every man, any man. Say, why? Jesus isn't a Calvinist, amen. You know, Jesus didn't believe that what he was preaching here is just for certain people, but other people would be left out. You see, a Calvinist believes that only certain people can be saved. Only certain people can have this thirst points in their life. Other people can't have it. That Jesus wasn't a Calvinist.
say it. He said, if any man, anybody, say it, no matter who you are, no matter where you live, no matter what your education is, no matter what kind of house you live in, if any man, the Bible says, this is a message, you need to take heed because it's for you. Say, it's for you. It's not just for the one beside you. It's for you. Say, it's a message that Jesus wants you to have. You know, we have a hard time personalizing God's Word, don't we? We have a hard time saying, well, you know, that's something about me, you know? We want to say something about my wife. We want to say something about my husband. We want to say something about my kids. We want to say something about the neighbor. No, it's talking to you. Say, I believe that Jesus died for the world many years. I believe that Jesus died for the world, but it never changed me. That never changed me, believing He died for the world. It's true. It changed me when I realized that He died for me. He was wounded for Gary Gilmore's transgressions. He was bruised for Gary Gilmore's iniquities. The chastisement of Gary Gilmore's peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, Gary Gilmore's healed. I thought, oh man, that's for me. Jesus died for me. Oh, it changed my life. Changed my life. Your life will never be changed until you realize He died for you. See?
Right.
That's how much He cares for you. That's how much He loves you. He died for you. This message is for you. It's a wide open invitation. It's any man. Secondly, it's an invitation that's wide open, not only because Jesus is not a Calvinist, but because everyone is thirsty. Everybody is thirsty. If any man. So Jesus is talking to a need that everybody has. Say, if any man. He's saying that everyone is thirsty. Isaiah 55:1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth! Ho, everyone that thirsteth! Everyone is thirsty." See, that's what the Bible says. And there are two kinds of thirst that every one of us have. First of all, there's a thirst that you have for physical water. You know, you have a thirst for physical water. If you didn't have that thirst for physical water, you'd die. You would die. You wouldn't be able to live. Why? Your body, your physical body, needs water. It cannot exist without water. See,
yeah.
You know. And that's critical to life. You can live a lot longer without food than water. You know, water is what cleanses your cells of the toxins that are in your body. And your cells have these toxins. And it's water that washes out your cells. Not pop. Okay? I don't know what you call it out here. What do you call it? Soda?
Soda.
You know, as a great Midwest, we call it pop. You know? And we weren't talking about our dads, even. You know, we're talking about soda pop, you know? And but you call it soda here. Maybe we you know, we shortened it up. You say soda pop, and we said pop. You know, we wanted to shorten things up a little bit. But, you know, that's not going to cleanse your cells. You know? Monster drinks, brother, where's the monster drink guy over here? One of these guys doesn't cleanse your cells. In fact, it's going to put more toxins in it, anything. Amen? I thought I'd put that in there for him over there, you know. He needs to get off that monster stuff and get on water. Amen. Water cleanses your cells. You know, they say the first step to sickness is dehydration. You know, when you get dehydrated, your cells don't have that water, you know. You know, I'm going to get on me a little bit, brother. Coffee, you know, it doesn't cleanse your cells from toxins. Say. And I try to limit my coffee intake. I just once a day, all day long. No. No, I do it in the morning. You know, I'm a coffee guy in the morning. See, I like my cup of coffee in the morning. But I just drink water from there on. From there on out, it's water. My wife says I don't drink enough of it. She's always asking, you know. I know her last day, words before me, before I die, are going to say, "Honey, did you drink your water today?" And, you know, water's so critical to physical health. It's so critical to it. You'd be a lot healthier. You wouldn't have to do all those drugs you do and all the other stuff you do. You know, if you drink more water, you'd sleep better. If you drink more water, you'd digest your food better. If you drink more water, you would, just be a lot better health. Now, that's not the message, but, you know, it wouldn't help for you to take that home. But I'll tell you something, you can drink all the water you want to and be very healthy, but drinking water, it's not going to take your soul to heaven. I mean, you know, we got to have the right perspective here, you know. I'm all for good health, but I'll tell you something, if you don't take care of your soul, you know, your soul needs good health too. A lot of people neglect their body totally. But even further, they neglect their soul. What's your profit of man if he gained the whole world, lose his own soul?
Right.
You need water for your soul. Say,
Your soul is thirsting. Your soul is thirsting. It's thirsting for forgiveness for your sin. It's thirsting for peace with God. It's thirsting for joy. You know, unspeakable, full of glory. Your soul is thirsting for, you know, a life that really satisfies. Your soul is thirsting for that. And Jesus is inviting people here to get that first quest, see? The first year soul quench. You see, the second kind of thirst we all have is a thirst in our souls. Our souls are thirsting. And you know, if you don't get that soul's thirst quenched one day, that soul will be in hell crying out for a drop of water, but there's no water there. No water there, physically or spiritually. Thank God there's water, physically. You know? Thank God. Even more so, there's water spiritually. There's water for your soul. And your soul is crying out for that water this morning. So we see, we need to take heed to Jesus' message of mercy because of its invitation. It's an invitation given to everybody because everybody needs the water that Jesus can give. Everybody needs to have their soul's thirst quenched. Secondly, you need to take heed to this message that Jesus is preaching every one of us because of the information of this message. Notice the information. The Bible says, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. See, there's the information. You need to hear. I need to hear. If we want that thirst inside of our soul, inside of our human heart to be quenched, we've got to go to the proper place to get it quenched. And the proper place is the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to Him. He's the one that you need to come to. Many people are leaving Jesus out of their life. They don't have time for Jesus. I mean, only use a cuss word. You know, they don't know Him personally. They know about Him. They know Him. I knew about Him for years. Knew about Him, but I never knew Him personally. See? I never personally had a day when He became my personal friend. And I made Him my friend. I chose to make Him my friend. Never had a day like that. I knew about Him though. But I never had personally come to Him. The Bible says here in this passage of Scripture, let Him come to me. I never come to Him. You know, I knew about Him, but I never made a decision to come to Him. I left Him out. I ignored Him. I had time for everybody else. Time for myself. But never time for the Lord. I never came to Him. See, folks, that's why you're thirsting. You're leaving Him out. You're thirsting after what you want. You're thirsting after your desires. Or what the world says you ought to desire. You're thirsting after that. You're leaving Him out. I'll tell you something. You will never have that thirst that you have in your soul quenched without coming to Jesus Christ. You see, what is Jesus doing here? He's showing us the proper place to quench our thirst. You know? Maybe some of you can remember when you were growing up, maybe you had a dad or a mom or someone when you were growing up say this to you. You know, maybe they said, now listen, if you are thirsty, you know, speaking of physical water, if you're thirsty, now don't go down to the dirty river and drink out of that river. You know, it's got all kinds of things in it that aren't going to be good for you, and don't go down that dirty river. Maybe they said this, don't go to the dog dish and drink the water out of the dog dish, you know. Maybe they said, don't go to the toilet bowl. That's not a good place to quench that thirst you have. That's not a proper place to do it. Maybe they said, don't go down to the gasoline pump and stick the gasoline nozzle down your throat and fill up with gasoline. That's not the proper place to quench your thirst. Say, it's not the proper place. See, what were your mom and dad doing? They were trying to point out to you the proper way, the proper place to get your physical thirst quenched. That's what they're trying to do. That's exactly what Jesus is doing here. He's trying to give you the information you need to quench that thirst inside your human heart. And He's saying, look it, it's come to me. I can quench that thirst. In John chapter 4, the Bible tells us about a woman. You know, this woman was very, very thirsty. She was very, very thirsty. And Jesus, in John chapter 4, this woman sitting, coming to a well, and Jesus is sitting at the well of
of Jacob. Jacob's well, and he's thirsty. He's come a long journey, you know. He's come a long journey. He's sitting here at this well, and he's very thirsty. Jesus had a human body just like you and I, but he was a God. He was a God-man, and he had a thirst just like you and I thirst. He had an appetite just like you and I have, and he's thirsty. He's come a long journey. And he sees this woman coming to get some water. And Jesus strikes up a conversation. And he says in verse 7, give me to drink. He asks the lady for some water because he's thirsty. And the lady responds and she says to him, verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no days with the Samaritans. Now Jesus takes this conversation that he's having with this woman, and he uses it as an opportunity to introduce to this lady her great need, the great thirst that she has, to call her attention to that great thirst, and to instruct her as to the way that thirst she can have in her human heart, in her soul, how that thirst can be quenched. That's what Jesus does here. And he says in verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God... Notice it's a gift, amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you something, you don't work to get that thirst quenched.
Right.
It's not you working spiritual works or anything. It's not your working that's going to quench that thirst. Going out there and getting all kinds of money, working for it, working, getting a job. It's not going to quench that thirst inside your human heart. It's a gift. It's something's already been purchased. Jesus purchased it on the cross at Calvary, say. And it's a gift that he wants to give to you. He wants to give you a gift. How many like gifts? Okay, if you don't like them, I'll take all the gifts you got. I'll take yours for you. That's all right. You know, if you don't like them, but I like gifts. You know, I really do. I've always enjoyed gifts. And, you know, gifts, something that's already paid for. Amen. That's what a gift is. You don't pay for anything for it. You don't go out and work for it. You know, it's all paid for. It's all taken care of. Jesus has a gift. He wants to give this woman. And he has a gift. He wants to give to you. Whether you're a woman, teenage boy, or a man, he wants to give you a gift. It's a gift that you can't purchase yourself. It's a gift, you can't buy it. You can't earn it. It's already purchased. It's a gift. He wants to give it to you. And notice what the Bible says here in verse number 10. And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee, watch this, living water. See, Jesus has living water. This is spiritual water that will quench the thirst of this lady's heart. He's got this water he wants to give to her, and the woman, is introduced to this living water that Jesus purchased at the cross of Calvary when he died on that cross for you and me. He purchased this living water, and he wants to put this living water, this well of living water inside of this woman's heart, and he wants to do the very same thing for you today. He wants to put this well of living water inside of your heart. Now, notice the difference between physical water and living water. Physical water is the water that we have right here, you know, and living water is the water that Jesus can give alone. And look at the difference in verse number 13. Jesus points out to this woman the difference between the two kinds of water. Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Now, what water is he talking about? He's talking about the water of the well of Jacob. He says, listen, you're going to take a drink of this water and it'll quench your thirst for a little bit, but then you're going to have to get some more water later on. It's not going to quench your thirst continually. You have to go back and back and back and back again. I don't know how many times you've taken some water of your life, but you know what? That physical water, you just didn't drink it once and that was it. You didn't need more. You need it constantly. Every day you need it. See? That's physical water. But secondly, Jesus goes on to show the difference between the water that he can give and the water, physical water. Look at verse 14. But whosoever drinketh this water, whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him, watch it shall what? Never thirst. Oh boy, what a water, amen? This water will quench your thirst for all eternity.
Amen.
See, when Jesus on the cross, what did he cry out? I thirst. I thirst. See, he was taking the thirst of hell for you and me. I thirst. Why did Jesus thirst that cross? So that you won't have to thirst in hell forever. You won't have to thirst in hell. That rich man in hell is still thirsty. He's thirsty for living water. But there's none there. Because Jesus isn't there. Jesus isn't there. Jesus is here today. And he wants to give you the living water that will quench your thirst. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What your soul is crying out for. Everlasting life. Your soul was not made for soul is crying out for is
that living water. Jesus wants to give you that living water. But you know, so many people try to fill up that thirst inside of their heart in some of the ways. They try to do it in an improper way. This woman, you know, she was trying to quench the thirst of her human heart. She thought it was in some man. And you know what? She thought a man was going to quench that human heart. That man, it was going to satisfy the troubles of her life and the emptiness in her heart and life. And so she marries a man, and then she, you know, finds out that this guy is the dream that she thought he was, and he wasn't taking care of the longing in her heart. And so she divorces him, gets another one, and then she divorces that guy, and she gets another one. She divorces that guy, gets another one. She divorces that guy, gets another one. She has had five husbands, and now the one she's living with is not even her husband. You know why? She gave up a marriage. She said, you know, marriage doesn't meet the longing of my heart. No man is making the meaning along in my heart. And Jesus knows that this woman is trying to quench the thirst of human heart in the wrong way.
Yeah.
So many people are trying to quench that thirst of the human heart in the wrong way.
Yeah.
They're going to divorce. They're going to, well, if I can just get me another husband, I'll get me another wife, you know, and she'll meet the longing of my heart. She'll really satisfy it. And they're going to all these ways to quench the thirst of the human heart. You know what? That's not the way you quench the thirst of the human heart. It's not through those kinds of things. The Bible says that's adultery. The Bible says that's adultery. And the Bible says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable, the bed undefiled, and whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. My friend, that will just take you to hell. Living in adultery takes you to hell. Living with someone who is not your husband, not your wife, it may be accepted in our society, but you know what? It will take you to hell. It will not quench the thirst that you have inside. No man can do that. Say, no man, no husband, no wife, no man can quench the thirst inside. Oh, so many people are trying to quench the thirst in an improper way. They're not coming to Jesus. They're leaving Him out, and they're going to all these other things. Try to quench that thirst. You know, I tell you, some folks, people go to drugs. They go to alcohol. Why are they doing that? Drugs. Quench the thirst. You see all these guys with tattoos all over them. Why do they do that? There's a longing in their heart. They're thirsting. And they're trying to quench that thirst. You know, I look at those people, I don't look down my nose. I just have compassion. I say, man, you know, they're crying out. Their soul's crying out for thirst quenching. They want that thirst quenched inside, and so they think it's drugs, they think it's alcohol, they think it's partying, they think it's these kind of things, and they're trying to quench that thirst inside their human heart. Some people think it's money and fame and fortune and things and material things. Jesus said in Luke 12:15, life consisted not in the abundance of things a man possesses. Oh, it's not those things that quench the thirst of your heart. There was a great basketball player by the name of Jerry West, and he was a great ball player back when I was a young man and played basketball some. And I really liked Jerry West, and he was an All-American, University of West Virginia. He went on and was drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers, and for 14 seasons he was an All-Star, multi-millionaire. Man was just a success in so many different ways. And he recently wrote a book called My Charm But Tormented Life. What? My Charm But Tormented Life. You know, wait a minute, Jerry, you got fame, you're an all-star, you're a Hall of Fame basketball player, you got money, you're a multimillionaire, you got homes and clothes and all the fancy stuff you want to buy and all the things you want to get, you got it all. You're charmed but tormented life? Tormented? You know what Jerry West said in his autobiography he wrote? That was the title of it, My Charm But Tormented Life. And you know what he said in? He said, I've never ever found satisfaction in life. You need to hear that, young people.
Yeah.
You need to hear that, mom, dad. You know? He said he lives in continual darkness on the inside. You know the worst darkness in the world is the darkness on the inside. He said, I have a hole in my heart that can never be filled. He said he lives in continual inner torment. You know, folks, this is not the exception. Many are like him today.
Yeah, that's right.
Many. Because they think
But that's what's going to quench the thirst. If I just get things and possessions and money and designer clothes and all this stuff out there, I will quench the thirst inside my human heart. No, it won't take place. It will not quench that thirst within your human heart. Some turn to religion to try to quench that thirst of their human heart. And the Bible says in Matthew 7, many will say in that day, "Oh Lord, Lord, didn't I do good things and good works?" And they turn to religious works. And Jesus is going to say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." He's going to say, "You workers of iniquity." Why were those people workers of iniquity? When they did good works, religious works, why were they workers of iniquity? You know you're going to be a worker of iniquity by doing good works? You can. Yeah. Why were they workers of iniquity? Why did Jesus call them that? Because, folks, they had left Him out. They had not obeyed the Scripture. They had not obeyed what He said. Come unto me. He didn't say come to a church. He didn't say come and get religious. He said come to me.
Amen.
That's how you quench your thirst. You've got to come to Jesus Christ, the Christ of the Bible who died for you. The Christ is God.
Amen.
The Christ is pure and holy, not the Christ that Hollywood puts out that's a homosexual or a pervert. That's not the Christ that you come to, folks. You come to the Christ who's alive. He's not dead in the grave. He's alive. He's the Father's right hand. You come to Him who died for you, and He will quench that thirst. Oh, the Bible says come to Jesus. It doesn't say come to Mary. Luke 1:47, the Bible says that Mary said that she talked about God, her Savior. Mary needed a Savior. She even admitted, "God, my Savior." Luke 1:47. So it's not coming to Mary that's going to quench your thirst. It's not coming to Joseph Smith. It's not coming to Judge Rutherford. It's not coming to the Mormon people. It's not coming to Muhammad. It's not coming to any religious leader. It's coming to Jesus of the Bible. That will quench your thirst. And you come to Him and trust Him as your Savior. Oh, dear friend, the proper place to quench that thirst, Jesus, come to me. The improper place to quench that thirst, go to men. Get married. Get some different wife in your life. Get some different husband in your life. Go get some drugs. Go get some alcohol. Go get some, religion in your life. Go get that. It's not going to quench your thirst. I had religion for years, and man, I tell you something, it was boring. I didn't want it. It didn't quench my thirst at all. Jesus, come to Jesus. He alone can quench that thirst. Now, notice with me, we need to take heed to the message that Jesus is preaching on thirsting here. Number one, because of His invitation, it involves every one of us. It's for every one of us. Number two, we need to take heed because of the information He gives. Let Him come unto me. Oh, He's making it so clear, so plain, so simple. Come to me, and I died for you. I paid the price. I purchased living water to put within your soul a well of water that will spring up in everlasting life. You come to me, I'll put that well in you. I came to Him 16 years old, and He put a well of water springing up in everlasting life. And I want to tell you something, that well will never run dry. You can come to Him. There's plenty of water in that well today. He can put that well of water springing up in everlasting life inside of your life, inside of your heart today, if you come to Him and you come to Him. But lastly, we need to take heed to what Jesus says here about thirsting and His message on thirsting because of its instruction. Notice the instruction of this message. Jesus said in verse number 38, if you will, turn back to John chapter 7. Notice the verse number 37, rather. He says, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me." All right? So there we have the invitation. There we see the instruction, or the information, "Come unto me." And now we see the instruction. The Bible says, "Let him drink." Say, and drink. Say, this is a command that is given. Drink. Say, this is a command. In other words, it's a command. You must obey if you're going to get that thirst quench inside your soul. You must obey the command. It requires a decision. A decision to say, "I'm going to come to Jesus and I'm going to drink of His living water." That, it takes a decision. You know, if you were thirsty, if you were really thirsty, and you said, "Brother Gilmore, I'm thirsty. You know what? I got some water up here. And you know what? I can bring that water to you and say, 'Hey, this is water here. Do you believe this water will quench your thirst?'" Oh, yeah, I do. I believe that, you know, water quenches your physical thirst. Yeah. Do you believe that? Okay. Here's some water here. You're thirsty. And here's some water. Now, just giving you the water, you know, and just your believing that this water will quench the thirst, you know, that you have physically, will it quench your thirst physically? Just, you know, no, it won't. Why? Because it requires a decision. You've got to say, you know what? I believe that water will quench my thirst, and I'm going to drink of it.
Amen.
You can never get that thirst quenched until you make the decision, I'm going to drink of that water physically, and I'm going to drink that water because I know it quenches my thirst. My friend, there are lots of people. You may have come Sunday morning after Sunday morning. You've heard about Jesus, what He did for the cross. But you know what? You never get that quenched thirst until you make the decision to come to Him and drink of His living water. There was a man, that was a great preacher, a friend of mine. He said there was a man coming to his church every Sunday morning. He would never miss. He'd come every Sunday morning. But you know what? He had never made that decision to drink of the living water, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he went to his door and he knocked on his door of his house. And he said, "Sir, you've been coming. I'm so glad you're coming. I'm so glad you come Sunday morning. But you know what? You need to make that decision to drink of the living water, the Lord Jesus Christ." And you know what that pastor said? He said, "Brother Gilmore, he wouldn't do it." And he said, "As far as I know, he never made that decision to drink living water." Now, you know what? When that person dies, if he doesn't make that decision to drink living water, he's going to be crying out for a drop of water to quench his thirst in hell forever. Oh, there may be a young person here. You've been coming. You've never made the decision to drink the living water. I mean, I remember I was at a camp in Montana, and there were two young people who came from Philadelphia all the way out to Montana. And boy, they were enamored with the great Rocky Mountains. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but boy, they are magnificent. I don't know how big to look at those and say, there's no creator.
Yeah.
Marvelous, beautiful mountains. And these kids are out there, and there was good food, and they probably didn't come for the food. They may have come for the food, and they may have come to see the Rocky Mountains, and they may have come for the girls. Probably that was the biggest thing. But they didn't come to hear preaching. And you know what? Those kids heard about Jesus Christ who died for them. And you know what? But they never made the decision all week long. They would not make that decision to obey God's command, Jesus' command, and come and drink of the living water that He died on the cross to provide for their soul. They never made a decision. Do you know where those two boys are? They're in prison. Prison. Rest of their lives. Oh, they had right at their very fingertips that which their soul was crying out for. And they tried to quench that thirst. I don't know, some other way, maybe robbing. I can't remember why they were involved in whatever it was, the crime they were involved in. You know, they were trying to quench that thirst that they had inside of their human heart. And they thought, if we could just get this, and they broke the law to do it. And now behind, they had the opportunity to receive a free gift of living water. And they said, "No. You have that opportunity this morning to receive the free gift of living water for your soul. But you got to make the decision. You got to decide, I'm going to come to Him." How do you drink of the living water that Jesus has to give to you? How do you drink it? You know what? The Bible says very plain here. Verse 38. "He that believeth on me." See that? How do you drink of the living water that Jesus has purchased at Calvary for you? You believe on Him. Notice what it says. That's how you drink of it. You believe on Him. Now notice it didn't say believe about Him. I believed about Him for a long time. But I had never received that living water from Jesus. The Bible says believe on Him. What does that mean to believe on Him? It means to put your trust 100% in Jesus to save your soul, 100%. It means to trust Him plus nothing else or no one else. That's the reason to believe on Him. I had never made that personal decision. I had never made the personal decision to come to Jesus and put my total, complete trust in Him to save my soul. I have made that decision. I'm 16 years old. And folks, I tell you something. It's quenched my thirst. It quenched my thirst. It's quenched my thirst for 56 years.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something, it will quench my thirst for all eternity. Amen. There's plenty of water in heaven. You know, there's none in hell. I'll tell you something, I'm going to be drinking at the fountain of the Savior for all eternity. Dear friend, I'll tell you something, you need to make that decision to come to Jesus and drink living water. How do you drink it? You decide you're going to trust in Him 100% to save your soul 100%. That's how you believe on Him. That's how you drink of the living water that Jesus purchased at Calvary for your soul. Yeah. You need to make that decision. Your mom can't make it for you. Dad can't make it for you. Husband can't make for you. I can't make for you. Preacher can't make for you. Only you can make that decision. Would you make it this morning? What's the result of drinking of that living water that Jesus Christ wants to put within your soul? What's the result of deciding to believe on Him and trust Him 100% to save your soul? Oh, the result is found in verse number 38. The Bible says, "He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Rivers of living water. What's that talking about? It's talking about a wonderful new life that will flow out of your soul from inside. You have a wonderful new life. See, folks, what your heart's crying out for, you will not find it in drugs. You will not find it in alcohol. You will not find it in material things. You will not find it in religion. You will not find it in yourself. What your heart's crying out for is the living water that Jesus Christ can put within your soul. If you decide to believe on Him. A number of years ago, my wife and I were in Kansas, Wichita, Kansas. And I was preaching there in the church. And there was a dear friend who was the pastor. We knew him very well. We went to school together. He had about the same age of children as we did. And so after the Friday night service was over, I said to the pastor, "Hey, pastor, why don't we get a babysitter? And we'll just, you and your wife and my wife and I, we'll just go out and just enjoy a fellowship together and the things of the Lord together." And he said, "Man, that's a great idea." So we got a babysitter. And, you know, we went out, just he and his wife and my wife and I. It was on a Friday night. And you know what we did that night? We stopped at three different Dunkin' Donuts places.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you what, that was living, amen? You folks only have some Dunkin' Donuts place around here. I'm getting to see that you got them on every corner. I've never seen so many Dunkin' Donuts places in my life. All over the place. We stopped at three of that night. And you know, we're driving around and we're just talking about how good it is to be saved, and how good it is to know your sins are gone. Having, you know, that thirst of wanting peace with God quenched because you know Jesus. And having, you know, a life that really satisfies, you know. And just rejoicing in what the Lord does for you when you come to Him. It's all good. I've never met anybody to say that said, "I wish I hadn't gotten saved." You know, I've met a lot of people over the years that said, you know,